Y'all don't want none. You don't want none tonight. Welcome to Shane Warren Live, where we're getting ready to put the smackdown on stupid. We had a little bit of a gaffe here a while ago. Saw somebody made a comment and asked if I was making coffee. Well, the truth of the matter is I did make coffee, but it wasn't during this time. So
yeah, we already had the coffee, and let me tell you, it was good. And if you ever get invited to be on the show, you better show up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You're going to get good coffee.
Well, while we're at it, that is Noah Erickson. Noah has his fingers on the buttons and is going to be doing all the controlling tonight. So he bailed us out really quickly. A while ago, we actually hit start. We thought we were recording. We were having a whole conversation.
Oh, yeah. We were into the monologue. Yeah. We were going, and we're not live, but we are now.
So yeah.
Good to see everybody.
Yeah. And over here on the other side of me, I've got, again, the world famous. Come on,
stop,
somebody.
Stop.
The world famous.
The glorious.
You know.
The breathtakingly humble.
Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies.
You don't have to do that.
Come on.
Respect where respect is due, man. Come on.
Marcus James.
Pleasure to be here.
And I love Marcus. Marcus is such a great man of God and just just one of the coolest people you could ever hang out with. And then sitting over there, not in the corner, but she's sitting over there out of the picture, is his beautiful wife, Miss Alicia.
Yes.
Listen to how he changes his voice.
Gotta do it for her.
Anyway, come here, Miss Alicia. Get over his shoulder again. We want to give everybody a little look. That's his wife. She's here with us tonight. So
she makes me look good.
Yeah, she does. That's for sure.
She does. She does improve the optics a lot.
That's a fact.
I'm just saying.
True fact.
In fact, what we should have done is had her on and just left him at home. That's right.
We'll try that next time.
Well, we're glad that you guys have tuned in tonight. The show would be pretty boring if you're not in. I see that the chat room has already lit up pretty well. I sent out an email to about 1,600 people, not including a text to about almost 700 people, letting everybody know that we were going to be live tonight talking about some pretty serious things. So we love having you on the show with us, and we're glad that you're in Super Chat. I want to remind you that you can leave comments, you can give, you can do everything through Super Chat. And so tonight as we talk, we want your questions, we want your comments. You could help us tremendously right now by simply sharing the feed. So if you would share this feed to your social media platforms, it'll help us get a larger audience on board so they can watch us tonight talk about some pretty serious topics. And so a lot going on right now in the world.
Indeed.
Yeah. And what as you look around the world, Marcus, what are you thinking?
Chaos. Chaos. I mean, it's crazy, right? But I would say it's a perfect time to be a light. That's just how dark it is.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time to be a light.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Well, tonight, I want to jump right in. Before I jump in though, I want to say two things. Number one, thank you guys for being patient with me for the last 4 weeks. I know several of you have missed us doing these shows. We would like to try to do them weekly. The truth of the matter is I travel all over the country. And so I've been traveling and preaching and running and sharing the gospel. One of the cool things I can tell you, guys, this is awesome. I don't even think I've even told either one of you about this. I was in South Carolina, and he might even be on tonight, Anthony Cole. I was in South Carolina at Gospel Temple, and I had a word of knowledge on the way there on the plane that there was going to be a person there that had an injury, that their leg was shorter, one leg was shorter than the other, and they had to limp. And it was causing them pain, and that God was going to heal their leg. Unbeknownst to me, the pilot who flew me to that event also had a word of knowledge. We didn't share that with each other. So in the altar times, I made the statement, hey, this is what the Lord spoke to me on the way here. I don't know who this person is. And all of a sudden, the pilot jumps up and says, man, I had that word of knowledge. God spoke to me. And I said, well, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let this be established. Sure enough, this lady comes up. She's limping. She has buildups in one of her shoes. One of her legs is shorter than the other one, and she has doctor orthopedics, I guess, or something to help her. As she's walking, it caused pain in her all the time, And so we didn't do what some of these phony guys do, where they take the shoes and they hold it in your hand and they can slide the heel out a little bit and then they shove the heel back and it makes it look like the leg. It's an optic that makes it look like the leg is growing. Have you ever seen that, Noah? You're looking at me straight.
If I have seen that, I didn't know I've seen it, but now I'm going to be real suspicious.
Exactly. So anyway, we told her to take her shoes off, and sure enough, you could see it. I mean, it was very obvious. It was like this. And we started praying. The whole church started praying. God in front of us shot that leg out.
Come on.
This lady jumped up and ran around the building. Wow. So anyway, I intentionally did not share the testimony Sunday, because I'm like, I want to make sure this deal is real, right? And Rick, the pilot, reached back out to the pastor yesterday and said, hey, what about the lady with the short leg? What's going on with her? Is she well? What's happening? So the pilot pastor contacted the lady. The lady sent message back to us. She not wearing any buildups. She is not limping at all. There is no pain at all.
Come
God
on,
healed
Jesus.
That lady's leg. Oh, it was a cool night. I like it when it's like that.
That's
so
amazing.
I love it.
So anyway, that's where I've been instead of being here on Thursday night. So that's reason it's really important that you subscribe to the channel. So right now, make sure you hit that subscribe button and hit the notification bell. And while you're at it, give us a big thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up. Even if you've watched us many times, you hitting that thumbs up every time we go live helps us in the algorithms, and the algorithms are already working against us because of the content that we're
deck is a little stacked.
Yeah, the deck is a little stacked against us in the social media world, but nonetheless, so anyway, when we come on, it'll notify you. So that's the first thing. Second thing I want to say is thank you to a very generous donor out of Florida. A precious, precious lady reached out to me and gave a gift to us, and it really was a blessing. She knows who she is. She did not want me to call her name, and I won't do that, but I just want to say thank you for contributing and partnering with us. It's because of people like you that have partnered with us that we're able to do everything that we're doing. So if you would like to partner with us, you can do that by simply texting your giving in and things of that nature. They'll put that up on the screen so that you can see that. Well, guys, I'm ready right now to jump into our topic tonight, because we got a lot to talk about. Right now, as you and I are on this platform together, we have China, who has positioned 50 plus warships and aircraft carriers surrounding Taiwan, threatening them. We just had North Korea shoot a ballistic missile 600 feet in the air, from what I understand, above Japan.
And, you know, it is North Korea, so it's even possible that they intended for it to go that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that our joint operation with South Korea, we test fired a missile, and the one that South Korea fired failed?
No.
That doesn't look good.
No, that doesn't look good at all. So we have that going on. We have all kinds of political quagmire. It doesn't seem like America is getting better at all. We have Russia, who is on a rampage, calling up 300,000 people out of reserve. And now I've heard that they're also doing a forced conscription to where they're trying to everybody under 45, 18 to 45, going into the military. It makes me wonder, why is Russia amassing a million-man army? You know, what are they preparing for? Russia has forged some new partnerships and alliances around the world, forming new economies, China's being one of those. So there's just a lot that is going on. But the biggest problem we have is right here in America, in our own homeland, there's struggles going on, and we need Americans to take a stand. So just for a few moments before we get into the topic tonight about the era, the end of a Biden era, and possibly some reasons why. And by the way, just as we were coming online tonight on the news, the news outlets are reporting that there is potentially enough evidence now to convict or to charge Hunter Biden, which that might not bode well for the first family. And we'll talk about what that could mean.
Does that mean there is enough evidence to charge him, or does that mean there is now so much evidence they can't get away with not charging him?
Well, I think it would be the latter instead of the former. That's a very good point, by the way. So anyway, Where do we as Christians fall into this chaos? How do we be the light in the darkness? Acts chapter 16 gives us a little bit of an indication on that, because Paul actually in Acts 16 invoked his Roman citizenship to take a stand against the wrongdoing in his own country, in his own life, and against Christians. And I believe it's time, guys, for Christians to stand up.
Absolutely.
And sure. I'm not necessarily advocating us being political, but if that's what we have to be to make a stand for morality. For me, again, this is not about politics. This is about good and evil, light and darkness, and right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And I want to prove it to you. In my heart and mind, something has happened. When you said it looks like chaos, it seems like there's been an invisible line that has been been crossed. And to be honest, a very tired and a very obsolete excuse, in my opinion, has expired. Now, what excuse are you talking about? You're asking. I'm glad you asked. The one that goes like this: as a Christian, I don't believe that we should be involved in politics or political things. Now, as incredible as it may seem, people are still saying stupid things like that. I was just told about a pastor who stood in his pulpit and told the people, if you're going to get political, hence, if you're going to take this conservative stand, then you need to leave this church and find another church to go to. Now, the reason that's dangerous is because there is a very special punishment mentioned in the scripture about remaining silent when a generation is headed for disaster. That scripture mentions nothing about a political exemption. The Bible says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And then it goes on to say that if you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he will not render to each man, and will he not render to each man according to his own deeds? That is Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. In other words, if you're a Christian and you see the chaos of this world, if you see evil triumphing over good, you have a moral and a spiritual responsibility to take a stand. Now, folks, the satanic agenda that is being pushed right now by certain political parties is killing people. This isn't just hurting people financially. This isn't taxation, just taxation without representation, even though it is. This is killing people. And this way of thinking that has been introduced into America is drawing them toward death. But you can't speak up because that would be politics. What I'm advocating tonight is that there is nothing political about making a stand on moral issues. And if we don't, there is a special punishment mentioned in the scripture about remaining silent when a generation is headed for disaster. You say, but Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. All right, I want to go down a path here, guys, and y'all just feel free to jump in any moment. I want us to imagine looking deeply into the eyes of a champion swimmer. She's trained all of her life to be in this final event. She's even broke records, but she came in second. She swam in a final event. She broke the world record, but she came in second. Now, the medal that she won has been stolen by a male swimmer who identified as a female. Can you feel the devastation in that? Can you feel the unfairness in that? Well, how can you just call this politics? Now, maybe you didn't know, but right now, kindergartners are stumbling toward the slaughter. They're led by activist teachers who are confusing them about their gender, pushing them to get hormones. Even as I sit here, there's a lawsuit that's taking place over at Vanderbilt, with hormone therapy and sex change therapy. They're getting surgeries without permissions from their parents. And still, you don't want to say anything because that would be political. Now, a teacher taking a child in kindergarten aside and grooming them for the LGBTQ agenda, you're still going to say that's politics? Is that even debatable? Walt Disney. Let's talk about Walt Disney. That corporation is using its considerable power to fight a war against parents.
Yep.
I have grandchildren. You have children.
Most definitely.
And it's a battle for us, to be quite honest. I was thinking about taking our grandchildren to Walt Disney, and I pulled the plug on it because of some of the stuff that we're seeing. Walt Disney is fighting against a law signed by Governor DeSantis that would not have been necessary in a decent society. That law...
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
Absurd that it is necessary at all, that we have to have a law that says, you can't talk to my small children about sex and sexual orientation without letting me know.
Exactly.
I mean, that's insanity.
It is insanity.
The crazy thing is, between today and back when I was coming up, if that was to happen, hypothetically, if my third grade teacher pulled me aside and started teaching me about, you know, all these wrong views and genderism, and I went home and told my father, oh man, my father would have been not at the school.
Oh yeah.
He would have been at the house.
Exactly.
Of the teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there would have been zero tolerance. The problem is our today's parents are actually tolerating it because it's the thing.
Yeah. No, they're not just tolerating it.
They're allowing it.
They're encouraging it. They're taking their children to drag shows.
They're involved.
They're involved in it.
Yeah. It's sad, isn't it? It's very, very sad.
And what's worse, not to cut you off, Pastor.
No, it's good.
What's worse is that a lot of these parents, unfortunately, call themselves Christians as well.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's the world is going to be the world, right?
Yeah.
But if you claim to know Christ and you claim to be a follower of Christ and belong to him, how can you agree, not just agree, but partake into something that goes against the person that you claim to belong to?
Exactly. Exactly. Let me talk about this law a little bit, because this law that they are fighting against Governor DeSantis, this law basically states that you have to have my parental consent before talking to my child about gender. You can't hide it from me anymore. That's what this law says. And yes, it goes even further. You can't teach my child LGBTQ doctrine until the third grade. So the law says you can't talk to them about it till the third grade.
Which implies that you can talk to them about it after the third grade? Right.
But I'm just saying, Disney's mindset
is so far left.
Is so far gone. It's just corrupt. Again, this is not about left, right. This is not about Republican, Democrat. This is about good and evil. Now, I want to ask you a question. How insane are these leftists? How insane are they? They've gone from chanting, believe every woman, to asking, what is a woman?
I can't answer that. I'm not a biologist, was the response of a Supreme Court justice.
Wow. Well, I was going to go there. Is it Ketanji Brown Jackson? The Supreme Court justice now.
Yeah, she's taking her seat.
She was asked about that, and her response was a lame excuse that I am not a biologist. However, she seems to know a lot about biology when she declares that a fetus at full term is still not human and can be legally killed even after surviving an abortion.
That seems like a more complex scientific question than the sex of an individual life form. I'm just saying.
Yeah, one's really basic.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Actually,
it's pretty
both basic. Are basic, it's, but one's yeah, more basic. Than
but I yet. Mean, but sex of an organism is universal across beyond just the mammalian range. Insects, plants. It's a very basic thing that God has built into the entire ecosystem that is now up for debate.
Yeah,
and it's lunacy. It's Romans 1.
My point in bringing all of this up is to fire you up, because I'm asking the question, do you still think parents who are fighting for their children are just getting into politics? Do you still believe that they should just stay quiet on the issue? Brown Jackson's devaluation of human life explains why she has given less than the minimum sentence recommended by the law for men who have not only sexually assaulted babies, but also tortured them. Go look at a record. But you still believe that speaking up against her is just being political? That's a problem to me.
That is a problem.
Now, you guys came from California. Mm-hmm. Just recently, the California State Assembly goes even further. They just passed a bill that means you can legally kill your baby even a week after you get it home.
Wow.
But no pastor in California should be rebuking this savagery from the pulpit because that would be political. I hope I'm making some real pastors mad tonight. I'm intentionally trying to tick somebody off tonight because I'm tired of this lame excuse about politics. This is not politics. This is light and darkness. This is satanic, what we're dealing with. And again, Proverbs 24:12 is clearly asking some burning questions. What do you mean by saying that you did not know they were headed to the slaughter? You say you didn't know how evil was or what evil looked like when you saw it. Don't you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God knows you are lying? How can you believe that God will not hold you accountable for your silence? Those are all questions that Proverbs 24:12 answers. Most people don't even know that scripture is in the Bible. But every single day I read a daily proverb, and I came across that a couple weeks ago when we were trying to do a show and something interrupted us from doing it. So let me just, I'm almost done here. Is okay?
You're good, sir.
How's the chat room doing? Are they mad?
Chat loves you.
Y'all better throw me some love or something. Give me some hearts. I don't know if
you're
mad.
They're not mad at you. They're mad, but not at you.
You on a roll, man.
Now, listen.
Like cinnamon.
Yeah. He's so crazy. The punishment for silence in the face of evil, the reckoning for not helping to save people and push back the disaster is plainly stated in the Bible in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It says, if you remain silent at this time, liberation and rescue will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. This was the warning. If you be silent, you're going to perish. Now, I'm going to talk about somebody that I love tremendously. You did not help when you had the chance. Is Hillsong collapsing a few months ago, right before our eyes? There was this huge just mess that erupted in Hillsong. And I love Brian Houston, and I love the Hillsong family. I definitely don't think that everybody, it's the largest church in Australia. So there's no way that I could say that everybody is corrupt. And I don't think some of the people who was accused of corruption was corrupt. But I want to make a point. Did you know that they had the power, because they were the largest church, to speak up against the tyranny and the immorality that is now flooding the nation of Australia? But they chose to remain silent. I was flying on a plane, and I was reading about the issues, and I thought to myself, has their scandal come to them because they passed their time limit to take a stand?
Wow.
I was just wondering the same thing.
So, folks, let me get a little bit more to the point. The point is this a sign of things to come for every Christian leader? No matter how big their empire, no matter how big their church, no matter how big their influence, is this a sign? Is God separating the tares from the wheat, the sheep from the goats? See, I believe it's no longer about you. It's no longer about me. It's about the children. It's no longer about politics. It's about evil. Now, in Proverbs chapter 24, there is a promise in that very same chapter for those of us who choose to stand against the flood of evil. Listen to what it says. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Proverbs 24, verse 25, you need to underline and highlight that scripture. It says, those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. So everybody, listen to me, time is running out. How much time does the church in America have left to stand against the evil of our nation? So that's my little rant for tonight. Noah, if you can, if you maybe you can reach and grab a few of the comments on the Super Chat tonight. And
I was about to answer. Somebody asked if that California bill really allows that. And instead of typing it, I'll just say it. If you look up the fact check, it's California Assembly Bill 2223. If you look up the fact check, it will tell you that claim is false. It does not legalize infanticide. But if you read the bill, what it does is says there will be no criminal investigation
exactly.
of the death of any child 7 days old or less.
Yeah.
So it's not, no, it doesn't say, yeah, you can kill your babies, have at it.
No.
But if you do,
there's no
you
investigation.
Ain't going to jail. You're yeah, not so even going to investigate.
So pretty much what you're saying in a visual aspect is they're not going to look at you doing it. They're going to, when it's done, they're going to turn their back and act as if they saw nothing.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. But I did have a question
yeah.
for you, Pastor.
Yeah.
And the question is, why do you think this happens in the church where people stay silent when it comes to quote unquote politics? Do you think it's because some have experienced going to a church where maybe that's all the pastor wants to talk about mm. each and every day on Sunday? Mm. Or do you think it's something that they've just become so numb to that they're like, you know what? I'm good with politics and not looking at it as the way that you're at, as the Bible shows and what you're speaking. Mm. It's not politics, it's good and evil. Yeah. But in their eyes, they've experienced so much politicking
yeah.
that they're not trying to really recognize that as good and evil.
Pastor, can I address one of the
yeah.
reasons?
Yeah, Jim.
I think one of the reasons is people have taken some scriptures out of context and they misunderstand the sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
We say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we ignore where it also says the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Mm. If God's in total control of everything, why does he have to have a war at the end of Revelation to take control back? To actually be, there's coming a time when Jesus will actually be the leader of the world. He's not right now. He gave the earth into our care. Beyond that, people will say, well, God sets up kings and he tears them down. And don't take it out of context. What does it say? It yeah. says kings.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Congress people. It doesn't say speakers of the house. He sets up kings and tear them down. You have to apply logic. Apply a little logic to it. How do kings come to power? Through inheritance or through war or through yep. intrigue. Mm-hmm. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament where we get that passage that kings come up. Look at Nebuchadnezzar and the whole chain of kings after him. You have a lot of intrigue. You have a lot of war. That's the kind of thing I believe that's talking about when God sets up kings and he tears them down. Mm-hmm. There is no model in the Old Testament or the New Testament for representative government.
Mm.
There was Greece was a democracy, and that's not even covered in the Bible, the point that Greece was a democracy. But a republic is not a thing that's mentioned. So just because no one in that history had the responsibility of choosing their representatives and had the responsibility of making government accountable to them doesn't mean that we shouldn't choose our representatives and make government accountable to us.
Yeah.
If we're supposed to pray for our leaders and we're supposed to pray that we have peace in the land that we've been sent into captivity, which we're citizens of heaven, we're in captivity in this messed up place, then why shouldn't we try to influence that? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't we use our voice to create a place where we can live in peace?
Exactly. Yeah. Very good points. For both of you guys, very good points. I'll just jump in on what Marcus was talking about. I think I'm agreeing with what Gary's saying here that in most of the churches that I've attended, the people have been taught not to discuss religion and politics. And then I have went in some churches that the pastors have used it as a soapbox because they really didn't have anything else to say. You know, they didn't know the word of God, or they didn't have fresh revelation from the Lord to deliver. So, you know, they would get on a soapbox. And I think that is equally wrong, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that we ought to just be using politics to wield. I think we need to deal with principles. Stay off the politics, mm-hmm. right? But where politics comes into play is if you have one party that is standing for or close to or is over on this side of where the scripture is and the other party's over here, you got to choose the principle over the party.
Even if one party's just less hostile.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just about to say that. I was like, even if that one party that's closer to the word is still kind of jacked up, yeah. you know, it's still what you said there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say yes.
We got a lot of great comments that are going on in the super chat, and I appreciate all you guys jumping in. You know, so let's do this. Let's segue here for a moment. Let's talk about a few things. Number one, I want to, because I'm going to deal with Biden here in just a second, but let's talk about Russia for a second. Did you guys see that we have a Russian nuclear sub that is carrying the Armageddon weapons, the Armageddon bomb, that mysteriously disappears in the Atlantic? I don't know that disappears would be the word that I would have chosen.
We lost surveillance of it?
I doubt that we lost surveillance of it. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe you get deep enough we can't find it. I don't know. But on this Russian nuclear sub that is somewhere in the Atlantic is drones that can carry these nukes underwater and can lodge themselves at the base of shorelines and can detonate all at the same time and cause a tsunami wave of 1,600 feet. So I've heard of several pastors and prophets who have talked about seeing tsunamis hit the East Coast, right? And I thought to myself, maybe these guys might not be so far off.
It's just because you wouldn't think that. You would think no. The yeah. seismic activity is all in the Ring of Fire. It's all on the West Coast.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have to be a natural tsunami.
Now, in relation to this, we have military personnel. This last week, the Pentagon was asking for the ships that transport natural gas and oil and things of that nature to Europe to give them actual escorts, military escorts, for fear of something happening to them. Now, I'm gonna ask, what does that sound like? What does that remind you of?
World War II.
Exactly.
Which starts with World War.
Yeah. So, all right, tell us what happened in World War II with that.
World War II, it was the Nazis that time, but yep. they had complete water superiority in the Atlantic for a good amount of time mm-hmm. and sank a lot of ships. We ended up arming our cargo vessels. We ended up sending them with escorts. We had radar was developed partially for that purpose. We have a lot of World War II aircraft that were surveillance aircraft specifically to spot submarines. I mean, that's a serious, serious thing. And if you think of that in the context of the Nord Stream pipeline.
I was getting ready to bring that up.
And what's going on there. And we said Putin blew up his own pipeline. And yeah. and then 3 days later, the Secretary of Defense says it's the biggest opportunity for us in years.
Yeah.
It's like, wait. Why is Putin giving us an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So if that,
so remember me talking about these new. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but
no, you're good.
Us talking about these new alliances that Russia was forming, mm-hmm. economic alliances. One of those was over the transporting and the selling of oil and gas.
Yeah, and trying to get off
and
the
then,
dollar.
And then all of a
which
sudden,
done.
Then all of a sudden, we blow up, or somebody blows up a pipeline.
Something happens to a pipeline
that has to do with that. The reason I'm bringing all this, most Christians don't even pay attention to anything like this.
Right.
Right. And I don't understand it, but I doubt Russia blew up their own pipeline.
It doesn't seem really credible that they would do that, especially since I mean, Russia stands to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
With Ukraine shut off right now. Yeah. So why would they then slit their own throat?
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
However, what if that ship is starting to move because of retaliatory things? Or worse yet, I mean, all we have to have, again, I'm pointing this out because we're in a mess right now. What you said earlier, total chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have this thing in the scripture talking about the last days, wars and rumors of wars. What do you think of, Marcus, what would you think a rumor of a war is? What is a rumor of war?
A rumor of war?
I put him on the spot.
Yeah, you did, but it's fine. Well, and this is for me. A rumor of war is when, you start hearing from more than one person or one outlet or one source that something is happening in regards to war, right? You start hearing rumblings. And then when it's, again, when a rumor is happening, it starts from somewhere and then it spreads abroad.
Yeah.
Right. And so rumors of wars, we not only hear it, but then we start to see little things that are happening that would say, hey, like, I heard about this war happening. It looks like that rumor might actually be true, right? Mm-hmm. Or that rumor, this rumor may actually not just be a rumor, right? Yeah. And so that's what I'm in today's time. That's what I believe is happening. Some people say this is just the start. Some people say, hey, this is, we're in the middle, or some people say, hey, this is exactly like, this is towards the end.
Yeah.
That makes me think of two things. One is, deniable ops, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the major powers, us, Russia, China, Japan, probably maybe Australia and Great Britain, we can do some things militarily to damage our enemies in a way that you can't strictly prove that we did it.
Yeah.
How much is that going on? And then also, if you think to the Cold War,
yeah,
right? Have you guys seen The Hunt for Red October?
Yep.
Okay. Tom Clancy story. I love the Tom Clancy stuff. Sean Connery plays a Russian submarine captain and he has this great line. He says for 40 years, this is, in the late 80s at this point when the movie's set, we've been at war, a war with no victories and no monuments, only casualties.
Yeah.
We were at war.
Yeah.
We were at war, but it came across like a rumor.
So on our chat here, New Mind Project Sound says, why is the church not emphasizing the gospel? Well, first of all, I don't know any real church who isn't not emphasizing the gospel. Most churches I know are preaching the gospel. Rush is illustrated, he says, in the word as being the superior entity is not illustrated. I totally disagree with that 100%. Now, Russia might not be named specifically, but definitely in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Togarmah, Rosh, Meshach, Tubal, that's all north of Israel. And Russia's part of that. Ukraine would be part of that as well. But my purpose in talking about all of this is to wake us up to what's going on in our nation. Now, the reason I brought up the whole thing of rumors of war. What if the rumor's not true?
What if the rumor's not true and it gets people to do things?
Exactly. Right. What if the rumor is not true? So we have wars and then we have
rumors of wars.
Rumors of wars.
There's a clear distinction.
And what if you have the major conglomerates of media associations who want to spin a certain narrative for a certain outcome? I've been thinking too much. I've been gone for 4 weeks off this platform, so I've been thinking too much. So what if now we have certain narratives that need to be spun a certain way? Because nothing with Ukraine makes sense to me.
No.
Nothing makes with Ukraine makes sense to me. So anyway, for me, there's a whole lot going on that has a whole lot of extreme implications for America. We don't think, this is the way most people live their life. We don't think that, I'm reading a New Mind Project Sound and I'm wanting to get into a debate with him, but I'm not going to do that. So, what was I saying?
About it, the ability of it to affect America.
Yeah. So most people think we would never be in a war. We would never get involved.
Yeah, we thought that before Pearl Harbor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We thought that in World War One. We thought that in World War Two. We thought that before the World Trade Center. Exactly. So all it takes is one thing to spark some kind of global conflict. It could be Taiwan. It could be Russia. It could be Ukraine. It could be Japan with North Korea. There's a whole lot going on, and like Marcus said, there's chaos. My whole point in even bringing it up, something's up. Mm-hmm. Like something's in the atmosphere. Am I the only one that can feel that?
No,
sir. You're absolutely right.
It feels weird to me. Like mm-hmm. everywhere I go, people acting crazy, like they've lost their mind, like there's some kind of weird spirit that's in them taking over. I almost feel like sometimes I'm watching a video game. And so anyway, all right, so that's Russia. Let's talk about Hunter Biden.
Okay.
Yay, yay, yay. I'm going somewhere with all of this. So Hunter now, as they're saying, could potentially, there could be some prosecutorial movement on Hunter Biden. How does that implicate the big guy?
Well, that certainly doesn't look good for the big guy, but I'd say that the media establishment has done a really good job of covering for the insider political establishment politicians for a long time.
Yeah.
So
And not just Democrat.
No, not just Democrat. Yeah, all of them. All of them. I don't think Democrat Republicans are relevant at this stage in the game. It's the political insiders and the people who actually are for the people.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. Marcus, what do you think?
I think
loaded question.
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind when you asked that question was, oh crap, Biden, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because Hunter has been in the news for a while now, not really the national media outlets, but he's been, for a lot of people, this isn't new news.
That's right.
Right.
This is just like, oh, well, it's about time.
Yeah. In spite of the fact that the CIA, or no, the FBI had weekly meetings with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram to tell them what news stories they were going to cover and went to them and CNN and the New York Times and others ahead of time. This is not conjecture at this point. This is proven. Yeah. Went to them ahead of time and said, hey, just so you know, a Russian false flag, false information, fake news story is going to come to your desk that there was something on Hunter Biden's laptop that he had. Mm-hmm. And just make sure when you see that we've already told you that that's fake. So don't be running with that story. That's fake news. Don't get caught up in that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think to answer your question, I think this will be very detrimental to our president and his whole organization. Everybody that's connected to our president knows about Hunter.
Yeah.
There's no way you can't.
Right.
Yeah, they have to.
You have to know because it has to be the best kept secret, right? So you have to know.
My question is this, though, is that does the current administration have any credibility to lose in reality? Because, I mean, you've got the Speaker of the House saying that, you know, why is Florida sending illegal immigrants to other states? They need them to pick crops. All this stupid
extremely racist things.
Yeah, all this stupid stuff. The president of the United States said that poor people can be just as smart and creative as white people. What in the world?
Yeah.
What in the world? I think it's only because there is mass media control of what is seen and what is heard from these people that they have any credibility to lose.
Let me throw in another cog in the wheel of this rumors of war deal. Why is it that all of the liberal media outlets are saying that if conservatives take over power, politically speaking, that there's going to be a civil war? Now, Fox isn't reporting that. Why is it that the liberal media is making those statements? Is that what we want in America? Surely that's not what we want in America.
So do the winners go and fight? and cause a civil war.
It no, seemed the to be loser. That
the losers would.
Yeah.
So they're literally saying that the Democrats will create a civil war if they mm-hmm. lose.
So the Democrats can create an insurrection if they lose an election, but the conservatives can't.
I feel like we just got demonetized.
We just got demonetized. We probably just got blocked because Edgar Lopez just said, he said, man, he said, I keep going to Facebook jail for posting Hunter memes. So again, Connor says, I'm okay with civil war. I'm not. I don't want civil war. I got babies and grandbabies and, you know, I don't want civil war. And no. I don't want anybody to have to go through what civil war means for the nation.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is what's happening in Russia will happen here.
Yeah.
They're going to start calling. They're going to have to call all the guys up from 18 to 45 years old, right? So I'm thinking about family, friends, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good people good that would people, be caught up in it.
And actually good people that won't know what they're doing from their left to their right hand.
Yeah.
They're just there, right? And you know, so I would hope that that's not the end all be all.
Well, we need to pray against that. And we, again, I'm bringing all this up for purpose. The only people who have the answer for the ills of society, as you said, the first is in the middle of this darkness, in the middle of this chaos is the light of the world. And that's us as the church. And so I know we don't want to be political. We don't want to make stands on things. We don't want to seem come across as, you know, not bigots isn't the right word. I'm thinking religious bigots more than anything else, but
small-minded
or whatever. We don't want to come across that way, but in reality, if we don't make a stand, then some of this evil could come on us. There's judgment that could come on us. It is our responsibility. God put us in America. He allowed us to be born. We could have been born anywhere else, but God allowed us to be born in America. We have a responsibility to our families mm-hmm. and to our nation to get involved in what is good for the well-being of our nation. Let me go back to Hunter. Sorry, I'm getting off track here. But I'm trying to tie all this together. I don't want it to seem like we're just rambling about these issues because it's not. For me, New Mind Project Sound, for me, it is about preaching the gospel, standing on all of these principles, knowing where the chaos is coming from and how to instruct people in Christ is about preaching the gospel. And, you know, I do preach the gospel every time a door opens, even on this platform, I preach the gospel. But I also believe that part of preaching the gospel is telling people, warning people of impending danger. And I see something swelling in the nation that honestly kind of scares me a little bit. It's not the nation that you know, my dad taught me to love, and it something drastically has changed.
Yeah.
Now, about a month ago, I had a dream where, and I'm not going to bore everybody with this dream, but with details. But I had this dream where I was taken to Washington D.C. It was so vivid, and in this dream, I saw a person being inaugurated, and when I flew and I could see the person, their face was blocked out, but it was a woman that was taking the oath of the office. And the Lord spoke to me and says, Jezebel's about to come out of her closet. Now, I don't know who this woman is, but a month ago I stood in my church and said, I saw a woman taking the oath of office. Mm-hmm. I saw a woman taking the oath of office. For months now, friends of mine says, well, Biden is so messed up. I mean, like something's wrong with President Biden. And obviously, President Biden, there is something wrong. Now, we're going to play a few clips here. But these clips are not meant to degrade the president. That's not what we're trying to do. I don't believe in that. I believe you can disagree without being dishonorable. However, we're having to pull a few videos from across the internet. I want to show you the struggles that our president is happening. So maybe, Noah, if you could just kind of play a couple of them here? Let's watch these.
I think we all remember this one. Let's see if I can skip ahead a little bit.
The president falling.
Falling, going up the steps into Air Force One, falling repeatedly. And I'm like, where is his wife letting this poor man deal with all that? We got, you guys remember not that long ago, he got finished giving a speech and couldn't figure out how to get off the stage, where he needed to go. There's one I didn't grab with him getting off of Marine One. And
that is so pitiful to me. That hurts my heart to even see that. That hurts
then,
my heart.
This is
I don't think we're plugged into a sound here somehow.
Yeah, I think the TV's taking over sound, but you don't need to hear the dialogue. This is when he went and shook hands with nobody, can't figure out where to go. You know, it's just there's clip after clip after clip of this.
Yeah.
And it's really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel for him personally, because he's obviously being asked to do something that he's not really in his capabilities anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel for his family, but at the same time, we'll probably not play him right now, but I mean, I've got some long clips from India, from Australia, from other countries that are just like, this is the leader of America.
Yeah.
And these are countries that are, you know, that are in their own way, you know, they have representative governments. They're trying to be a bastion of freedom, and they're really concerned. If you watch news reports from Australia, from India, from other places, there's a lot of genuine concern about the state of the free world.
Yeah.
Because of the leadership that we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I when I see that, it hurts me. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
So we don't show this. What I have been wondering is, how in the world is this other person going to get in office? And then, so we're what, a year and a half for, well, we're only a month away from midterms. Mm-hmm. But so we're what, a year and a half away from a major election. Who's the Democratic Party candidate? Because the Democratic Party, for the most part, we've already significant players in the Democratic Party are saying they don't want President Biden to run again.
So the two biggest theories that I've heard, one is that it will be Biden, but without Kamala Harris, which is intriguing, and we could do a whole hour just discussing that. And then the other is that there's apparently been a lot of activity in all the people who were part of Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Yes.
And that Hillary Clinton may run again.
Yeah. Yeah. You got any thoughts on that? I know this ain't something you delve into. We don't talk about stuff much, but
I don't. But I mean, I hear things, and I mean, honestly, I feel like what's supposed to happen is going to happen, right? And when I look at the political party, even with Biden specifically, right? Obviously, you have Kamala. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. But I also heard that Nancy Pelosi in some way could be involved if something was to happen to Biden.
Well, she would be the third.
Right, the third. Yeah. Right. So I've also heard, you know, that's what I've heard. Like, it could be Kamala, but if something was to happen to Biden, and then if Kamala wasn't, of course, then Nancy would come in. So that still would be. You know,
all right. New Mind Project sounds just making me crazy right now, because he talks about, listen, we know old people who are older fall. I mean, I'm 52 years old and I fall sometime. Come on, get up off your horse, brother. Quit playing games with me. I'm not even playing there. But when a man is in the most powerful position in the world and he can't hardly walk, he don't know the direction he's going, he's shaking hands with people who aren't even there, he can't carry on a coherent Senate sometimes, there's a problem with that.
He couldn't through his entire campaign.
Yeah, there's a problem with that. And my point is, there's getting ready to be some kind of change that's going to happen, because there's no major candidate that is on the ticket for the Democratic Party. Nobody's talking about it. We're a year and a half away. People politic for 2 and 3 years to run for that office. There's no major candidate. So I'm just telling you what I believe right now, that something is getting ready to shift.
For sure.
Something is getting ready to
shift. There's no candidate, because whatever the plan is, they don't need one.
Could it be that maybe there is evidence that comes out with the Hunter Biden situation that implicates Joe Biden, and he has to step down? maybe like a Nixon. Wouldn't that be crazy ironic, all the stuff they claim Trump did and, you know, and, you know, and how he should have been removed, that you now have to step down because of the wickedness or the evil that you were involved in. I'm not saying that is the case, right, but in my mind, I'm trying to think, what in the world is going on right now? We got all this stuff going on in the world. We got this stuff going on in America, and our leader, something's wrong in the leadership, and Christians better wake up, and we better get to praying. We better get involved. We better make a stand on some issues. Because right now, as Marcus said, we're in a pretty chaotic time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so pardon me. I'm going to go over here and hang myself now. I'm so depressed about this situation.
Let's not do that.
No, we're not going to do that. That's not the answer. The answer is we're the answer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
We're the answer. And yeah, we can pray about it, but we got to do something about it. We're the answer. We've got to make a stand for what the Word of God teaches when it comes to very biblical principles. So we put on our little thing, the end of the Biden era. I'm going to make a prediction. Y'all make a prediction. You make a prediction first.
Is this like a pool?
We're going to make a prediction here. We're going to make some predictions here. I'm going to let Noah go first. What do you see in the next 24 months? We're going to give Marcus a few minutes to think about it.
In the next 24 months.
What is going to happen in the next 24 months?
I think.
All right, guys, what do y'all see the next 24 months?
I think on the global stage, we may see a couple more European countries do what Italy just did and go with very pro-Christian, pro-conservative values, pro-family leadership, which is being just blasted all over. I think Russia will still be in Ukraine. I think that conflict will still be going on.
Yeah.
And I think on this side, it's really hard for me to make a prediction.
You got to make a prediction. A prediction is a prediction.
I think unless something drastic changes with the control of media, which is possible because apparently Elon Musk is about to go through with buying Twitter. And what a lot of people don't know is Twitter has been the main way that journalists have communicated ideas to each other for many, many years at this point. So that's why there's such opposition to somebody who wants to have open communication and get rid of the fact checkers and stop banning people for dead naming, which just Google that one. If you don't know what that is, it's insane. But unless something drastic changes, I think we're in for another 4 years of big government, whichever party it is, but of the swamp.
Yeah.
Because the swamp is so allied with media that unless something drastic changes, and that something could be us.
Yeah.
Do not discount the authority that we have and the ability we have to influence things. Yeah. But without something drastic changing, I don't see it getting better.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that.
Well, the Bible tells us that things are going to get worse. Yeah. Right? So.
Preach, brother.
I don't care what party it is. Neither party can stop what God already said is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
So, Democratic, Republican, it doesn't matter. It's going to get worse. And we have to be who we are called to be in the church. I personally don't see, and this is just me, with what I see with Biden and his health, I don't see this lasting for another 24 months with Biden. But for whatever reason it does, so be it. And I say that to say that I don't feel anything is going to change.
Yeah.
Change meaning that things are going to get better. Like I said, it's going to get worse. I don't care who's in that seat. It's going to get worse. And it's going to show the church who we really are. It's going to continue because we've actually been exposed. Mm-hmm. Is going to continue to expose us, and it's
tell me what you mean by it's exposed us.
I believe in many ways. So I believe that what's happening and what's been happening with the church, as far as us being exposed, it has exposed how weak we are, how passive we are with the truth, right? How prideful we are.
Yeah.
Right. I And I would put myself in that bucket a few years ago, right? Like very passive when it comes to, like you said, not being political.
Yeah.
But really speaking about good and evil, because I don't want to fall in that political space.
Right.
But what
don't
was
want conflict.
Right. But what was really happening was I was really, if that's pride. That's pride. And that's also idolatry, because I made my the culture and the popular opinion, you know, or whatever the case may be, the priority. And if I make it the priority, then it's making it my God.
Wow.
Right. And so I think that that has happened a lot in the church, and we've taken a step back instead of taking a step forward. I think we have to get over our pride. We have to get over putting our culture first. We have to get over putting our own thoughts first and really do what the word says.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we've been exposed.
Yeah.
Again, and we'll continue to be exposed if we don't step up.
I agree 100%.
Right. Stop being some man. Stop being, you know what's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Stop being that, man. Step
Somebody interpret the tongue.
Step up.
Just like, I mean, you know, the events of the last 36 months, I don't think have changed us very much. I think they've just revealed who we are. Just like the people that, when the lockdowns hit, you know, took that opportunity to not go to church. You know, a lot of them were like, that didn't change my opinion about going to church. Now I have a valid excuse to not go to church.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's everybody, obviously.
Right.
Some people gave in to fear. They were listening to voices that were telling them ungodly things or whatever. But, you know, you're right. It's exactly right. That's what's been happening. And Pastor, that's what the Lord was showing you is going to happen about things being exposed. These things have been here.
Yeah.
But they're being exposed and they're going to be exposed.
Yeah. I'm going to make my prediction.
All right, go for it.
My prediction is going to be made Sunday morning. I'm going to predict.
Let's go.
Four or five things that's going to happen.
Facebook.com/TheBenChurch.
Yeah. For those of you who don't live close, but on the short term, I agree with all of you guys. Not much is going to change. I think there is going to be a shift on the political front. I think the next 30 days is going to tell us a tremendous amount about where America is and where we're standing on different things. I do think there's going to be a change in the presidency. I don't think it'll last all the way to the presidential election. I don't know what that change is going to be and how it's going to come, but I think there's going to be a change, and I think it's going to be shocking, and I think it's going to rattle the world. And so my prayer has been, God, wake the church up.
Yeah.
Get the church moving. Send revival. You know, we can have light in Goshen while there's darkness in Egypt.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Exactly.
We can have light in Goshen while there's darkness in Egypt. So that's what I believe is going to happen. So the long and short of it is, this is our moment. There's a lot of chaos. I mean, we could literally, you know, when we started talking about doing this, Noah and I was like, well, how are we going to come up with topics? And now, like every week, we're like, crud, which one of the topics are we going to talk about? You know? So now we're having to figure that out. So that's what I believe is going to happen. But in the middle of all of this, you who are watching me, those of you who are listening to me on podcasts around the world, you got to make a stand for Christ. This is the church's finest hour, and we have to stand up and be who God has called us and anointed us to be. Now, we're getting ready to have to close the broadcast, but don't go anywhere because I have a special announcement for you. So I've got a special announcement. I haven't even told Noah. I haven't told Marcus because I just got the confirmation text while we were sitting here. We're going to have a very special guest next week here. They're coming to town next week. Right. What's next week? What's the date?
Next week is going to be.
Is it the 17th?
The
or
11th.
The 11th. So no, this
or
will
12th.
This
12th,
will be
13th. One of those days.
October the
19th.
13th.
Thank you. 13th.
Okay, it's not going to be next week. It's going to be October the 19th. We're going to have a movie star who's going to be here with us. Yeah.
She's already here.
He's coming.
We do have a movie star in the room. We're going to have a different movie star.
Did you ever, you were in Hollywood, did you ever meet Cameron Arnett? Cameron Arnett recently played in a movie, Overcomer. He was the lead role in Overcomer. Cameron Arnett has a ministry called Christ Over Career. And Cameron Arnett is going to be our special guest on October 19th. So we're going to have to do a whole studio audience in here with Cameron Arnett.
20th. I hate to do that to you, but it's going to be the 20th. I just pulled up the calendar. That's the only reason I know.
If you're interested in being in a studio audience in here, we'd love to have you plan to come. We only have enough room for about 25 people, maybe, if we cram them in here everywhere.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. But
Some of you will be in the background of the shots.
It'll be really fun. So put that on your calendar, not this next week, but the week after that. Cameron Arnett is going to be our very, very, very special guest. Listen. Tonight, before we go off here, if you have not subscribed to the channel, please do that. Also, please share this feed when we get off of here because we need people to hear what we're talking about. And you can simply copy and paste this feed, put it in your social media outlets, and just tell people you've got to watch it. Also, like the video because that helps us. Every single time we come on here, hit that thumbs up. That helps us tremendously.
Yeah, right? That helps us in the algorithm.
Yeah, and as we told you before, as we told you before, the cards are stacked against us on that. And the other thing I want to ask you to do is if you've not partnered with us, Shane Warne Ministries, if you'll help us, consider helping us. That would help us tremendously. It's not just for this podcast. This keeps me on the road this last week, helping pay for planes, airline tickets, all of that stuff to help us get all over the country to preach the gospel and to share the love of Jesus Christ. It helps us do that. It also helps us do what we need to do in the ministry. I was out on our new land today praying, and amazing what we're getting ready to build. So we're going to have a big reveal party, and we're going to actually make it a live YouTube event.
Okay, come on.
Nice. So it's going to be a live YouTube event for all of you who don't live here, so you'll actually get to see what we're getting ready to build on the land. It'll be a big party, but it'll be a live YouTube event.
Cool.
Kind of do something totally different. Might have to throw Facebook Live in there just everywhere, all across some platforms. But anyhow, so be looking for that. So thank you guys for partnering with us and giving. We appreciate that. Marcus, thanks for your time, man.
My man. Thank you for having me on. Yeah. It was a pleasure.
I felt you getting a little tight in a couple places, but it's all right.
It's a nice little vibe, though. It's a nice little vibe. I'm glad you added a little bit of color here. A little bit of spice.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I called Marcus. Said, Marcus, would you come be on the program tonight? He said, yeah, man, I'd love to. I said, good, because I said we don't want three white guys up here talking no more. We got to have some spice in our mix here. Right?
It's awesome. It's awesome, man. Yeah,
thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And really quick, if this continues, just as a little, not a challenge, but maybe a good topic. If this continues on next week, maybe we can go over, or you can go over, Romans 13.
Yeah.
As far as submitting to the government, right? What it says.
Yeah.
And how that plays out for us.
I know some things about that.
All right.
Let's go.
So everybody may not know.
Yeah. So let's do this.
Easy to skip over.
Let's do this. Why don't we plan that?
All right.
Can you come back next week, Thursday?
Let's make it happen.
Hey, maybe we can grab us another microphone and we could ask Miss Beautiful over there to jump in on this.
Yeah.
Right? And give a little beauty with the beast.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen.
Yeah.
A little beauty with the beast. Yeah, I like that.
Arr. Oh, man. Well, thank you guys for joining us tonight. Thanks for joining us on Super Chat. We love you guys. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. I hope you enjoyed the program. Again, share it with everybody. God bless you guys. If you don't have a church, come to The Bend this coming Sunday morning, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.